Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, over €390,000 worth of contraband has been seized in Donegal in Dublin. Concerns have been alleviated surrounding the future of Ardra Health Centre after Dr. Muriel Sweeney announced in May that she was resigning from her position. The Donegal Food Response Network has issued an urgent back-to-school appeal, and the ATU president is calling on the government to make a decision about the location of a new vet school. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport coming up, and farming news is on the way with Chris Ashmore. First in news. Over €390,000 worth of contraband has been seized in Donegal in Dublin. Operations targeting smuggling and shadow economy activity were carried out in both locations in recent days. Two women have been questioned in relation to the discoveries, as Michaela Clark reports.
As part of an operation targeting smuggling and shadow economy activity, approximately €57,500, comprising of €42,102 and £13,240, was seized in Donegal by Revenue. Meanwhile, 37,600 cigarettes of various brands, with an estimated value of €31,000, representing a potential loss to the Exchequer of €24,800, cash to the value of €2,935, and a quantity of alcohol were also seized in Dublin. Both seizures were a result of intelligence-led operations with the assistance of detector dog Toby. Two women have been questioned. Revenue say it suspects the cash is the proceeds of or intended for use in criminal activity. They have been granted a three-month cash detention order. Revenue officers also seized a large quantity of drugs while examining parcels in Dublin. Investigations are ongoing.
Concerns have been alleviated surrounding the future of Ardra Health Centre after Dr. Muriel Sweeney announced in May that she was resigning from her position. She'll finish up on this day week, which is August 22nd. It's been confirmed that a replacement GP has been identified to take over the role. The new GP will begin on August 26th, with NOIDOC services available in the intervening 4 days from when Dr. Sweeney steps down. Councillor Anthony Molloy says while it's been a long process, it's welcome news that a GP will be in place in the coming weeks.
There will be a seamless transfer from Dr. Sweeney to the new doctor. Some details have to be worked out yet, but the new doctor will be in place by the 26th of August, which is great news for us, you know.
And there was much worry locally about the loss of the GP surgery, so this will provide some comfort to those in the area now.
I wasn't in a position to make statements or announcements. I let due process take its place. It's not that simple a process, but all I can say is that there will be an announcement made very, very soon, which I'm delighted about, as I work closely with the HSE on this as the local councillor. And, you know, you can't announce anything until all the lines are dotted. There's been a process there. It's not a simple process. And from my own point, you know, rather than go public, I like working behind the scenes to get the solutions and not create unwarranted controversy, which there was a bit there. But look, it's positive news and it's great news, and there will be an announcement made shortly.
And this is a sense of a guarantee that the future of the surgery is secured now, as far as we can see with this new GP coming.
Yes, without a doubt. Dr. Sweeney is the GP up until the 22nd of August, and the new GP takes up possession on August the 26th. That week as well, from the 22nd to the 26th, is covered by NOIDOC. So this is definitely great news. Dr. Sweeney owns the building there, so the new doctor will have negotiate things there. But all that is coming into place now.
The Donegal Food Response Network has issued an urgent back-to-school appeal. The group, in conjunction with the DLDC, is asking for food donations, school supplies, vouchers and cash for local families. Approximately 640 families across Donegal are currently supported by the 21 organisations involved in the Donegal Food Response Network. Roseanne Niyalahar, DCP Na Rossin, says parents are going without to ensure their children are ready for the new school term.
At the minute, we're finding that the high cost of sending your child back to school or starting school is putting parents under an awful lot of pressure. you know, with regards buying books and new uniforms and school shoes and stuff like that. So we're seeing parents going without themselves to make sure that their kids are set up. So really what we're looking for is donations towards this for us to help those families get their kids set up for school. We've seen a big rise in it here in the Gaeltacht and the Rosses area, with families coming in just looking for help setting their kids up and stuff like that. So you can see the cost of bills and everything are going up, but the salaries are not going up along with it. So families are really, really struggling.
Margaret Larkin, head of operations with the Donegal Local Development Company, says the need for assistance is growing.
It's very much the working poor, but it's people that maybe before would have needed a little bit of help, but they're continuing to come back, because Greg, what happens is people just fall into that poverty trap, and once you're in it, it's very hard to get out of it. You need a lot of wraparound services to support people out of that trap. So it's people becoming more and more reliant, and it's often that sort of situation where people just can't make it to Friday. They don't need support all week or continuously, but ad hoc and here and there, they just can't make it to Friday. As Tony says, on a Wednesday evening, there isn't food in the fridge for the kids for lunch on Thursday.
The ATU president is calling on the government to make a decision on the location of a new vet school. An ATU bid centred on the Letterkenny campus is one of three being considered. In January, while he was still a higher education minister, Taoiseach Simon Harris visited the Letterkenny campus and told Highland Radio News that the ATU bid was very much in with a chance. On today's 9 till noon show, Dr. Orla Flynn said designating the ATU would help address the regional investment gap identified by the Northern and Western Regional Assembly. She added it also makes sense in a cross-border context with a memorandum of understanding between the ATU and Ulster University.
The point about the cross-border is a really interesting one. We have an MOU with Ulster University. We had a meeting, one of a regular series of meetings about that only last week. And we are talking about collaboration across a whole load of areas. Research would be one area, where we want to see the growth in collaboration. But the issue around sustainability in small farms, smaller farms, the less intensive farming practices would be something that we'd be really mindful of. And preparing people for that kind of an environment is going to be a big part of the curriculum. The Northern and Western region and the disadvantage, I would urge any listeners to have a look at the Northern and Western Regional Assemblies website. They've published a regional infrastructure tracker only in the last couple of weeks. And, we're not getting our share of investment per head of population. We're vastly, underserved in terms of the eastern region. The Greater Dublin region continues to be overserved in terms of investments. And that's one of the other reasons why I think that, our government is going to take a good long look at investing in the Northern and Western region. And I have to say, Minister McConnell-Logue has been dead straight throughout this process, and fair play to him. But I'd still like to hear an answer, an outcome to the call as quickly as possible.
Sinn Féin has once again branded the government's housing policies as a failure. It follows a new report which shows for every four people added to the population, just one new home is being built. The Savills study shows Ireland is 14% higher in this metric than the next worst country, which is Spain. Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson and Donegal TD, Piers Doherty, says there needs to be a radical change in housing policy.
I heard Peter Burke today. He's obviously been watching a lot of Donald Trump over the last while, because he's taken from his playbook. He claimed that we have record levels of home ownership. Home ownership under this government has been falling. That is a fact. And, no kind of huffing and blustering in this. And the reports are saying very, very clearly what is happening here. What we need is a step change, as the Commission said. And that step change is a change in government. I have no faith whatsoever that this government will be able to handle this issue. We have 13 years in government. We've come through boom and bust. We have billions of euro of surplus. And still, every single year, this crisis gets worse, gets deeper. And it is individuals. It is whether it's students, whether it is elderly people, as we've seen this week, threatened with eviction.
Over 1,300 Donegal children under the age of three remain on waiting lists for childcare as settings are to reopen next week. Early Childhood Ireland are calling for proper planning, recognition of childminding and the elevation of the status for early years education to be actioned by the government to ensure needs are met for preschool-aged children.
CEO of the organisation is Teresa Heaney. It's her view that childcare settings are not being opened where demand is most urgent. She also says the staff are leaving the sector for better conditions, and this is something that comes down to basic recognition.
We have people who complete degrees in early childhood. They have, it's the same level, it's a level 8 degree. So many of them do, graduates from the Atlanta College in Letterkenny, for example. They come out with level 8 degrees. These people are really well qualified, and we have to be making the terms and conditions for their roles in early years as attractive as they are in primary schools, or for them to become SNAs, because that's what they're leaving to do. They're leaving to work in other education type sectors, and that's not good enough. It's not good enough for our youngest children, who have the rights, have the same rights as children who are 5. We have to afford the same terms and conditions for their educators. It shouldn't be different when a child is age 3 or 4 than when the child is 5. So yeah, it's a really important commitment that we are calling on government to make about elevating this sector, the early years and school age sector, to the same status as primary school, because it's just so, as you say yourself, it's so important. The formative years are so important, and we undertake a barometer every year, Early Childhood Ireland does, and in our 24 barometer, which is where we investigate the attitudes and opinions of the Irish public. And the overwhelming majority, 76% in this year's barometer, agreed that every child should be guaranteed access to a high quality and an inclusive early years and school age care setting in their community. And we need a plan to make that happen.
The time's now approaching 12 minutes past 5. We're going to go to a short break, and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's just gone 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We're going to start with soccer and the sad news that former Derry City manager and League of Ireland legend Jim McLaughlin has passed away. Jim won a record 8 League of Ireland titles as manager with Derry City, Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne, as well as 6 FAI Cups. He steered Derry City to their famous domestic treble in 1989. As a player, Jim also won an FAI Cup with Dundalk in a glittering career across Irish football. St Pat's have just kicked off away to Sabah in their second leg of their Conference League qualifier. Stephen Kenny said took a 1-0 first leg lead to Baku, and the score is currently 0-0. 16-year-old Mason Melia has replaced Aidan Keena in the Saints forward line in the only change from last week's first leg. Shamrock Rovers are potentially 90 minutes away from securing at least group stage football in Europe. The Hoops are 1-0 down to Slovenian champion Celje with tonight's second leg of their Europa League qualifier at Talis Stadium. Striker Graham Burke is looking forward to the tie.
It's an exciting game, big game, games that you want to be playing in as a football player, and we know what's at stake, you know, what the motivation is to try to get into another European group stages. So, yeah, it's obviously going to be a massive night, big crowd, and hopefully we can have another special night in Talla.
Should Rovers come through that tie, the worst they will do is a group place in the Conference League. Bournemouth look set to replace Dominic Solanke with Brazilian striker Ivan Nilsson. A €47 million deal has been agreed with the 24-year-old's club Porto. Ivan Nilsson scored 25 goals in 42 games last season, leading to his international debut in June. Tottenham boss Ange Postecoglou says Yves Bissouma has to rebuild trust at the club. The midfielder has been suspended internally for Monday's league opener with Leicester after he posted a video on social media appearing to show him inhaling laughing gas. Possession of nitrous oxide has been a criminal offence in the UK since last year, and Postecoglou hopes Bissouma learns from his punishment.
He has responsibilities. He has responsibility to the club. He has responsibility to his teammates. He has responsibility to our supporters, everyone associated with the club, and he's failed in those duties, so there's got to be sanctions to that. So there's also some trust building that needs to happen between Biss and me and Biss and the group.
On to golf, an eagle 3 at the third means Rory McIlroy is 2 under par, 4 holes into his first round at the St Jude Invitational. Shane Lowry and Seamus Power are both 1 under, playing their front nines. Ben Griffin, Tommy Fleetwood and Chris Kirk jointly lead at Southwind on 4 under par. Tom McKibben has dropped back to 2 over par with 6 holes remaining of his Czech Masters first round. Gary Hurley is 2 over following a 74. And South African Peter Mühlmann is clubhouse leader on 8 under. Leona Maguire is four shots off the lead after a one-over par first round of 73 at the Women's Scottish Open. Lydia Ko is the clubhouse leader at Dundonald Links on 3-under. Lauren Walsh is currently 1-over through 4, and Stephanie Meadow tees off in around about 10 minutes' time. On to horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall was in the winner's circle at Dundalk earlier as he was on board the Paul W. Flynn-trained Mrs. Willpower. The Donegal jockey went off as a 12-1 shot in that one. He also came close to upsetting the odds in the Irish Stallion Farms EBF maiden at 3.25. He finished second on 50-1 shot Nakatomi. Rathmullen native Luke McAteer is also in action in Dundalk, and Oisin Orr has followed up his win yesterday with two second-place finishes at Beverley today. Finally, this week on The Score, Aidan Fitzmaurice of the Independent talks League of Ireland and FAA Cup football. Institute manager Kevin Deary tells us about the hopes of the club in this season's Irish League Championship. And we hear from Niall Burns, the latest man from the Northwest to compete in the World Rally Championship. That's all on The Score this evening between 7 and 8pm. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Looking now to weather, largely dry for the rest of today with sunny spells. One or two isolated showers may drift in from the west. Light to moderate westerly winds will be fresh at times near windward coasts. Continuing largely dry tonight with clear spells and lows of 9 to 11 degrees Celsius. To conclude this evening's news, over €390,000 worth of contraband has been seized in Donegal and Dublin. Operations targeting smuggling and shadow economy activity were carried out in both locations in recent days. Concerns have been alleviated surrounding the future of Ardra Health Centre after Dr. Sweeney announced in May that she was resigning from her position. It's been confirmed that a replacement GP has been identified to take over her role. The Donegal Food Response Network has issued an urgent back-to-school appeal. The group, in conjunction with the DLDC, is asking for food donations, school supplies, vouchers and cash for the 640 local families it supports. And finally, the ATU president is calling on the government to make a decision on the location of a new vet school. An ATU bid centred on the Letterkenny campus is one of three being considered. That's all for now. We'll be back with more headlines at 6 o'clock. Farming news is up next after the obituary notices. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 15th of August. The death has taken place of Bridie Byrne, née Sweeney, Main Street, Ardra, formerly of Melanty Boyle, Glenties, in her 103rd year. Her remains will repose at Shovelin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, from 6:30 until 8:30 this evening, and again tomorrow evening from 6:30 to 8:30. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Glenties Cemetery. The death has taken place of Anne Kirby, Carn Mallon, Mallon Head. Anne's remains will leave Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, this evening at 7 o'clock, going to her home. Funeral from there at 12:30 on Sunday afternoon, for 1 o'clock funeral mass in Star of the Sea Church, Mallon Head, followed by burial in Lag Graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Frank Laird, Carnone Ruffaut. His remains are reposing at the family home. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock funeral service in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Ruffaut, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. And the death has occurred of Keith Bates, Dundrain Burnfoot. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock funeral service in Burt Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in St Ninian's Church Graveyard Convoy. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Burt Presbyterian Church, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
We'll be right back. Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about a TAMS 3 Information Day and also the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation's National Genotyping Programme. But first, the Irish National Sheepdog Trials will be taking place in Clonmany next week from Thursday the 22nd to the 24th of August, which is a Saturday. The annual event, sponsored by SSE Renewables, will see 150 talented sheepdogs and their handlers competing for a chance to represent Ireland at the International Sheepdog Trials in Scotland this coming September. The trials will begin at 7:30 a.m. next Thursday and again at the same time on Friday and at 7 o'clock on the Saturday. Entrance costs €10 for a day pass, €20 for a three-day pass, and admittance for children is free. There will also be a free bouncy castle for children and catering provided by Ballyliffin Golf Club. And the trials, organised by a voluntary Donegal committee comprised of members of the International Sheepdog Society, will provide a unique opportunity for families and visitors to witness the incredible partnership between handler and dog, showcasing their abilities in a series of challenging tasks. The Homeland Store in Letterkenny is holding a TAMS 3 Information Day next Thursday. Dominic Gallagher, retail store manager at the Homeland Store in Letterkenny, has been telling me more.
Chris, firstly, thanks for having me on. So on Thursday the 22nd, in our Homeland Store there in Letterkenny, we're holding a TAMS 3 open day. So what people can expect is to meet with our many suppliers and ourselves and look at ask any questions that they might have on TAMS. We'll have a lot of eligible items that are approved through the TAMS grant, so they can come and have a view of them and, you know, anything that they feel would suit their needs.
Yeah, and fair to say some people may not be just aware of just how many items are applicable under the TAMS 3 grant.
Yeah, well, that's correct, Chris. Look, there's a wide variety of items available through TAMS there. You have 40% grant availability through a lot of items, and in some cases 60% available to young farmers and female farmers. The range of this stuff, you know, you're looking at calf and support gates in terms of animal welfare. You have calf creek gates, cattle head scoops and mobile crushes, you know, all 60% grant aided through TAMS.
And it's also a chance for farmers to meet the experienced team there down at the store, who no doubt can give tips and advice as well.
Absolutely. It's a chance for farmers to come in and meet with the Homeland team there. We'll have 10 suppliers on the day to assist in any queries that they might have on the eligible items. Look, we'll be offering a free quotation service on the day with special offers running as well. And we'll also have light refreshments there on the day.
And it'll be a bit of a social event as well. And I think you're going to have a few spot prizes.
That's correct. We'll be running a competition throughout the day. We have a ton of feed, of nutritious animal feed as one of the prizes there, and a lot of other special offers as well.
So it's all taking place at the Homeland Store in Letterkenny, TAMS 3 Information Day next Thursday. And what time will it be from?
So running from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. So look, at everybody's invited to come along and see what's on offer.
And that was Dominic Gallagher, retail store manager with Homeland in Letterkenny. The Irish Cattle Breeders Federation has reopened the National Genotyping Programme for additional herds to apply and is encouraging farmers who are participating in the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Scheme, known as SCEP, to apply. Kevin McDermott is manager of the Herd Plus programme and he's been outlining what's involved.
Yeah, so this is going to be the second year of the NGP now. So we've just kind of finished the first year of it this year. We've over 650,000 calves genotyped through the NGP this year so far, and we're opening it up again now for new herds to join to join that program and fulfil the same requirements as the herds that joined last year.
And you are encouraging
all herds in the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme to sign up, because there are many potential benefits?
Yeah, so for herds that are in the SCEP scheme, as the acronym for it is, joining the NGP is a really, really good move to make, because it actually helps tick two boxes at the same time. So one of the big requirements of the SCEP scheme is that farmers have to genotype 70% of their reference population every year, which for most herds means they have to collect a DNA sample from about 70% of their calves. And they'll be doing this maybe when the animals are 4, 5, 6 months of age. If they join the NGP, they'll get what we call double tissue tags, which means when they're tagging their calves at birth, which they must do anyway, they'll also be collecting a tissue tag, a tissue sample, and another tissue sample for BBD. So they collect the two samples at birth, and that gets sent off. And now that also fulfills their SCEP requirements, so they're not having to bring older animals 4, 5, 6 months of age and try to handle those. It's all done at the newborn calf stage. And on top of that, then they're getting all the remaining breeding females in the herd genotype for free as well when they join to the NGP. The financial contribution of the farmer is only towards the animals that are not picked up for SCEP. So, you know, for a 20 cow herd in SCEP, you're talking your actual NGP costs of being less than 40 or 50 euros, but you're getting all the benefits then in terms of you're saving labour, you're getting your parentage verification earlier, you're getting your CBVs and all your animals, you're fixing all your parentage problems. So for those SCEP herds, it's a must, I would say. It's a real no-brainer to join the NGP. So the application process is really simple. If you go to www.icbf.com, right there on the homepage, you'll see an option to join the click here to join the NGP. You'll fill in a few of your details there. It gives you a list of what you need to sign up. This is the application phase. So you're putting in the details, expressing interest that you'd like to join. You must get that in by the 20th of August. And then after that point, we'll review all the applications and write to the people that were successful and unsuccessful.
And are you expecting a big response from farmers in Donegal?
Look, we would certainly like to think so. Yeah, look, there's a lot of SCEP farmers in Donegal that are currently not in NGP. You know, I'd encourage them, you know, talk to your neighbours, talk to your colleagues that are in SCEP and NGP already. You know, get their feedback of how it worked for them. It's largely a win-win process. There's not too many cons to joining this programme for SCEP herds in particular. And I should say, look, it is open to all. It's open to all herds. It's open to, you know, so again, I would be encouraging all beef and dairy herds to put in applications as well. There's certainly still big benefits for them. But for the SCEP herds, it's the real no-brainer. In terms of the uptake, look, we have funding to do about an extra 100,000 animals.
And finally, more details available on the ICBF website.
Yeah, if you go to the ICBF website, you'll find everything you need to know there. We will have been texting and sending emails to a lot of herds as well. So look, if they've got the text or got the email, there'll be a link with all the information in that as well. And if anyone has any further questions or, you know, doesn't want to go through the hassle of looking it all up, they can always give us a call here as well on 023-88-20452. So that's 023-88-20452.
And that was Kevin McDermott, manager of the Herd Plus programme. In other news, the Acres Cooperation Team for Donegal is running two events that will focus on the role of women in agriculture. It's all part of an initiative to increase female participation in agriculture and to identify the key issues. A panel of experts will be in attendance. The first event takes place on Tuesday, August the 20th in Rushen Churchill, and the second one is on Wednesday, August the 21st in Legony Hall, just outside Donegal town. Both events will run from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Finally, as part of Heritage Week, there will be a free talk, Donegal, Agriculture and the First Decades of the 20th Century. It'll be held in the Central Library in Letterkenny on Monday, and that's from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.